Looking at Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, and particularly verses at the end of chapter 4, verses 20 to 32 particularly, where Paul calls on Christians to walk worthy of the calling with which they've been called, to walk worthy of the great salvation that is in Jesus Christ, to live in the grace of Christ, the love of Christ, and by the power through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who seals for us the redemption that is in Christ. Now, Paul has wonderfully described what it means to be a Christian in this letter. In chapter 2, if we were to summarize it, he puts it like this. Chapter 2, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But then Paul links to that in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we are not saved by good works. Our salvation is complete. It was finished upon the cross. Our salvation is in Christ alone. But we are created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And in chapter 4, Paul is working that out as to what it means to live for Jesus Christ. And he uses a picture of putting off and putting on. Putting off the old self, the old man. Putting on the new self, the new man. The old man, the old self, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, he describes it. The new man, that if you're a Christian, you've been renewed in the spirit of your mind, in true righteousness and holiness. In other words, there's a great difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who's not a Christian, between your life before you became a Christian and your life after you become a Christian. And after you've become a Christian, then you're set apart through salvation in Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit at work in you to live a new sort of life. God put the old self to death when you trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. He struck that old way of life, just living for yourself. God struck that a fatal blow. And God has given you a new life in Jesus Christ now, if you have trusted in Jesus. If you've trusted in Jesus, you have new resources now that have changed the way you're living. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in you, and you have a thankfulness in your heart for what God has done for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul is not saying, be good and God will save you. He's not saying that. He's not saying, be good and God will love you. No, he's not saying that. He's not saying, be good and you will earn your salvation. No. All of that is the opposite of the gospel. But Paul is saying, if you've embraced from the heart the free grace of God in Jesus Christ, and you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior King, if you've been born again by the work of the Holy Spirit, then you will start to live a new sort of life. Your life will be set apart from the world around you. Jesus will set you free from sin's guilt and set you free from sin's power. You'll be set free to be the man or woman God intended to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So it's in Jesus Christ alone we have forgiveness of sin. But he's also the one who breaks the back of sin in us. And we have to take that victory, says Paul, and live it out in our hearts and lives and behavior every day. And Paul is emphasizing too that that's something that you're engaged in this morning if you're a Christian. You're to put sin to death and practice holiness. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians 2 verses 12 and 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Yes, it's by faith in Jesus that we are delivered from sin and death. By the Holy Spirit, God comes to take residence in our hearts. So our growth in holiness does rest on the work and power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. But there are things to be put off, says Paul, and there are things to be put on. What belongs to the old self must be put off completely. What belongs to the new self must become the habit of life. And Paul tells us plainly what it means to put off, and he tells us plainly what it means to put on. So that's very simple as an outline this morning. First of all, putting off. If you look at Ephesians 4:25 for a moment, it begins, therefore. Put off the old man, says Paul. Put off the old self. What does that look like? What does that mean in practice? What does putting off the old self mean in daily life? Therefore, verse 25, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Telling truth, says Paul, not lies, is a particular part of the Christian life in the family of God. A lie is a stab in the back of the body of Christ. Now, lying is rife in the world. It's rife in our society. And spreading false reports is commonplace. We've seen it in our public life as a nation. It's especially an issue and a problem on social media. But if you have trusted in Jesus Christ this morning, who is the truth, what does that mean in your life? It means, well, be a truth teller then. You say Jesus is the truth, and you trust him, you follow him, you know him, his Holy Spirit is at work in your heart, so speak truth. Be angry and do not sin. That's a citation from Psalm 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So as well as speaking truth, never go to bed angry, says Paul. Don't let anger get the upper hand. Sometimes we lose control. But don't go to bed angry. Ask God for forgiveness. Ask for his help. Don't go to bed angry. Listen to what happened in the life of D.L. Moody, who was an evangelist in America in the 19th century. One evening he was speaking at back-to-back services, two services, straight after each other. After the first service, he was at the door greeting those who were coming to the second service. And a man approached him and, with his words, verbally insulted him. Moody never reported what the man said, but it must have been something really nasty, because Moody got angry. He lost his temper and he shoved the man, and the man tumbled down a few steps. Now, the man was not injured, but friends of Moody thought the second service is going to be ruined. People who witnessed him pushing that man down the steps wouldn't be in a right frame of mind to listen to him preach from the Bible. What would happen in the second service? When Moody called the second service to order, with a trembling voice, this is what he said. He said, "Friends, before beginning, I want to confess to you that just now I lost my temper.